B-Pod Studios.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
They're very big.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, we have serious business to get to take care of here.
We do. You know, sometimes there's, you know, a lot to talk about that, you know, makes, you know, kind of, I don't know. Sometimes it's tough to approach such a serious topic on a show such as ours because, you know, you get a little backlash. You know, why are you guys getting all political? But sometimes something is right there in your face, and it's just tough to ignore. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is time that we had to have. This had to happen. It was thrown into our laps. We have no choice. Our very first political version of Fart Court! Fart Court is in session! I present to you two stinky instances of pungent pundits.
Bailiff Jamelli, if you could please bring to the judge, Rich Sherton, the evidence as John Wallach and I sit in the jury box.
So much red tape to pass here, the silent majority says, that we shall find out which one of these political pawns did fluff an air biscuit.
Well, listen, there will be egg on our face and up our noses if we get this wrong.
This is the no spin zone. So remember, when one of these passes his moisty foisty, we shall find out whether or not he is guilty. I give you first. Let's go almost to the highest. This could be the highest level of fart court that we have ever had to reach.
Ooh.
Yesterday, on what was a streaming chat between a reporter by the name of Tom Wolf, he did a one-on-one with the ex-vice president of the United States, someone who is indeed running for president.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
They're very big.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, we have serious business to get to take care of here.
We do. You know, sometimes there's, you know, a lot to talk about that, you know, makes, you know, kind of, I don't know. Sometimes it's tough to approach such a serious topic on a show such as ours because, you know, you get a little backlash. You know, why are you guys getting all political? But sometimes something is right there in your face and it's just tough to ignore. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is time that we had to have, this had to happen. It was thrown into our laps. We have no choice. Our very first political version of Fart Court! Fart Court is in session! I present to you two stinky instances of pungent pundits.
Bailiff Jamelli, if you could please bring to the judge, Rich Sherton, the evidence as John Wallach and I sit in the jury box.
So much red tape to pass here, the silent majority says,
that we shall find out which one of these political pawns did fluff an air biscuit.
Well, listen, there will be egg on our face and up our noses if we get this wrong.
This is the No Spin Zone. So remember, when one of these passes his moisty-foisty, we shall find out whether or not he is guilty. I give you first. Let's go almost to the highest. This, not really the highest, but this could be the highest level of far court that we have ever had to reach.
Ooh.
Yesterday, on what was a streaming chat between a reporter by the name of Tom Wolfe, he did a one-on-one with the ex-vice president of the United States, someone who is indeed running for president, Joe Biden.
78-year-old Joe Biden? Obviously not a, if he's anything like my 78-year-old father, not a lot of control of his anus. Yeah. So, yeah, you're playing golf with my dad and you're going to hear some farts.
All did right. 78-year-old Joe Biden fart?
Yes, yes.
I present the evidence.
And this isn't some math exercise. This is about people. It's about making sure you don't have to cut those teachers and firefighters, police officers, and cut critical health care programs, or stop work on roads and bridges. So
that is an old man.
Yeah,
that
there
is
was
an
some
old
dust escaping with that one.
Yeah, yeah. That's playing golf with my dad. Yeah. Yeah. That's being on the green and him just not even knowing that it happened. Yeah. That it's
or
Joe
stop
Biden.
Work on roads and bridges. So.
Oh, I mean, come on.
I mean,
the noise, the looseness of it. His non-reaction is of no concern.
That's right.
When you reach that age, it's inescapable.
Yeah,
oh, no. Oh,
true.
You have no idea what's going
yep.
on.
Yep, yep.
Somebody yeah, you know, it just
to the
comes,
political party, if you ask me.
it comes. That is just an old
or stop
man.
Work on roads and bridges. So,
oh, yeah, I mean, when you reach that age, it's happening beyond your control. Like he doesn't even know that happened. It just smells like mothballs and Werther's Originals at that point.
What's great is that at one point he says the word cut. It's almost as if it was just like yep. on it's cue. True.
But, you could make a million jokes about it, but it is just an old man fart. They don't know that they're farting. It's. I mean, if you have if you're lucky enough to have a father who is 78 years old or older, mm-hmm. you will know, or any relative, mm-hmm. that they're in no control of it. They don't acknowledge it. They're unaware. My dad could be sitting in a car with other people and just you'll hear and then you're like, what the hell? And like no one under the age of 70, it's just like, yep, that's farts.
Okay.
And everyone else is looking at each other like, what the hell is going on? And you're just like, well, no, he farted.
All right. You know, this is a bad fart. When your Catholic mother, church-going mother, even sends you that clip yesterday.
Well,
my
she
mother
sent
her
she
very first.
Hates Biden.
Yes, probably yes, pretty much. But she
you
sent
want this
her
guy
first
to be president? He's farting. Trump never farts.
My mother sent a submission to fart court yesterday. Oh
yeah.
Man.
Well, I mean, if listen. We're in a country where we reward the elderly with positions of great power. I mean, what was the guy from South Carolina that was in the Ku Klux Klan in the 1800s? That Jesse Helms. I mean, there's guys that are in politics that are like Jesse Helms was in the Ku Klux Klan, like when it was a party in South Carolina.
Right,
I mean,
so
these guys have lived through like World War I. So, I mean, we live in a country that rewards the elderly when it comes to the highest of offices.
And this isn't some math exercise. This is about people. It's about making sure you don't have to cut those teachers and firefighters, police officers, and cut critical health care programs or stop work on roads and bridges. So
that's going to happen. I mean, that is going to happen. That's why, you know, there's no Democrat National Convention.
Tweets are coming in. Get that man a wipe. Hashtag guilty. Oh, and this is
This is great. You need one. So I was sent this by about a bunch of our listeners, but somebody actually isolated it and made a GIF out of the reaction of the interviewer, Mr. Wolf, and he does one of those, like, where he kind of blinks and is taken aback, like, holy moly, Mr. Biden, you're going to be on fart court.
He has no – Biden's got no clue in the world that he just farted. None.
No.
I mean, you can only ask your sphincter to stand up to test the time. I mean, 78 years is a long time to have a sphincter.
What's great, too, is that apparently BuzzFeed reached out to the Biden campaign about this and said, reach for comment. A Biden aide told BuzzFeed News, glad you're putting resources into this important story. I mean, is there a more important story?
It's no denial. It's no denial.
That's true.
I mean, Quaker Oats. I mean, if you eat enough Quaker Oats, you know, it's all over his chin and, you know, he's eating Quaker Oats at 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You know, he's walking around. He's walking the dog. He's going, you know, gets down to the edge of the driveway after about 20 minutes.
So we are in agreement, right? They're guilty!
Yes!
What I wish you would have done, Rich, is ask me to tell you what it would have sounded like. Because I could have done that without... Because I'm with a 78-year-old man right now every day.
Okay,
and that is what they do.
Well, all right. So then maybe I will play that game with you. Let's say for a moment that Brian Williams is still on television. And let's say that for a moment that Brian Williams was interviewing James Carville. Of course, the old, what was he, campaign director for Bill Clinton, the bald guy.
I'm farting over here. Okay.
You hear? So if you know, one
Bill
of them
Clinton
were to fart.
Came up to me and he, with a lighter, okay? And then he put it right up to my ass, okay? You hear? And he said, I dare you, Carville. I said, I said, one thing you don't want to do is ask a Louisiana boy if he can't make blue blazer, okay?
Somebody, by the way, there is a news site that said, hot take, Joe Biden's live chat with U.S. mayor interrupted by loud farting noise. It's not bad.
Such is the world that we live in.
Not bad. Okay, so I present to you, this is Brian Williams with James Carville. What do you, first of all, if you had to guess what it would sound like if there was indeed a fart.
Well, he's a Louisiana Cajun boy, if I'm not mistaken. So
this
that
one
would
comes
be,
out with an accent, right?
Yeah, this one goes like, ooh, doggy. That's what it sounds like. Ooh-wee.
All right, let's present the evidence.
I noted that earlier this week, unless that was a gaffe on his part. Both of our guests have agreed to stay with us. We'll take...
That was a power fart, okay? In the 1992 presidential election, people go, Carville, what you doing? Power fart. When you're up against an enemy, you let them know, okay? Here. You just sit there, you go, I'm farting. What you gonna do about it? Ultimate power move, okay?
Here. Oh, God. That's almost too, like, bassy and floppy for an
I
old
pushed
man.
It. Okay.
And something came out.
All right, Carville's sphincter is tight. Kegel exercises, okay?
This is farting James Carville voice, is that what we're doing right now?
Yeah, yeah. I broke wind, okay? Okay,
here we go. I noted that earlier this week, unless that was a gaffe on his part. Both of our guests have agreed to stay with us.
I mean, dude.
Carville's laughing. Power fart, Williams.
Unless that was a gaffe on his part.
That one growled.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called a big brown growler. Okay.
Big brown growler?
Hey.
Is that a chair? Okay, I'm just going to play devil's advocate.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, some people say it's a chair.
Okay, I understand that.
But some people say it's a chair.
All right.
Okay.
Is that John Wallach? Okay. I'm going to play. Is that a chair? Let me listen one more time, okay?
I noted that earlier this week, unless that was a gaffe on his part. Both of our guests have agreed to stay with us.
Chair moans?
No, too many gurgles, here, man. That's not a chair.
I'm on a leather chair. Here's how it would sound. Oh, yeah.
I'm so clean, I can't even make the noise. But that's a squeaking sound. Yeah,
there's gurgling. There's, no, that's not a chair. No.
That is a James Carville power fart.
Unless that was a gaffe on his part.
I don't know. I think we got to do five call smells at all. I'm not quite sure if we have enough evidence. Not enough evidence in this court.
Well, I mean, the Biden one's an open and shut case.
No, I mean, there's no question. I mean, he opened his lunchbox right on TV. I mean, that was just like, and he didn't care either.
No,
like,
because he doesn't know. I don't know how much. I'm not lying. I mean, he doesn't know he farted. I mean, he doesn't know what's going on.
So we got one slam dunk. And I'm not sure about the other one. 617-779-0985.
That's a powerful Louisiana power fart.
Is it possible it's a burp that is gurgling in his throat? Is it possible?
It could be a combination.
I don't know, man.
Jambalaya.
How are y'all not hearing the gasp? Someone said,
what's that called? The Carvel Jambalaya. Half burp, half fart. Okay.
The Louisiana taint tickler. That's what I call that sucker.
Woohoo! That'll fluff up your mustache. Hey, Williams, unlike you, I cannot tell a lie. I just ripped one.
All right. So, somebody said, how can you. Here you go. He goes, are you not hearing the gasp before the fart? Slow it down. Oh, I can't slow it down from here. I'm not able to do that. Somebody said, anybody who thinks that's a chair has been embarrassed by their own fart at one time. Maybe that was the case. He goes, I thought a second sound was a cough to cover up the first.
Carvel doesn't cover up anything.
He doesn't cover anything.
Hey. Fact check. I'm going to fact check you now, all right? I'm not going to let you sit here and cast a purge. I'm not covering up a dang thing. Okay?
It's a Bayou Breezer you shot out there. Is that what it was?
You got that right.
All right. Let's go to the phones.
That was a Katrina Cantankerous Cutter.
Katrina.
Cantankerous Cutter. All right. Well, we have to break, and then we can find out.
Stop work on roads and bridges. So.
Yeah, I mean, that one. There's no question. Biden is guilty, damn guilty.
Unless that was a gaffe on his part.
I mean, that... If that's a fart, that's a great one. Like, that's one from the soul.
Yeah. Like,
that's too much Zatarain's. That is a New Orleans joke. If you've ever made red beans and rice before, you have to have Zatarain's.
That's a Popeyes. I am what I am, and that's a farting man.
Chicken and air biscuits.
I gladly fart today. To have you play it back on Wednesday.
All of a sudden he's wimpy?
I'm wimpy.
Okay. Wimpy from Popeye. Popeye's chicken. Boy, we've gotten really far from, you know, a lot of twists in that joke.
A lot of twists and turns, all right?
All right.
All right, we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up?
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We just had a fart court, and the first one was a unanimous guilty. Not a lot of talking about it, and that was
Stop work on roads and bridges. So,
yeah, guilty.
That was
no
your
question.
Democratic candidate for president, Mr. Joe Biden, at 78. They tend to slip out in that fashion. But then there was controversy. Mr. James Carville, a very thin man, a Louisiana-born and bred, a man that doesn't take a lot of guff.
I noted that earlier this week, unless that was a gaffe on his part. Both of our guests have agreed to stay with us.
Someone started laughing. Maybe Carville, of his own pride over what had taken place.
By the way, my favorite trend right now in the news is that if somebody famous does fart on television, that there will indeed be a news source that goes and asks for comment, like BuzzFeed did with Joe Biden. I mean, that's really what we are. In a time where all of us right now could use a little something just to make us all feel like we are one and we are united, that's great work that the press is doing there. I applaud them.
I will ask you this. Is it out of the realm of possibility? Is it going to happen, but would it be out of the realm of possibility for the Trump campaign to use that against Joe Biden?
Oh, you know what? I think that Donald Jr. might have actually retweeted that.
Yeah.
I think he might have.
I think you are correct.
Oh, did he really? Okay.
I seem to remember the same thing you remember, Rich.
All right, let me see. What, did he say anything? Did he comment on it, or did he just retweet it?
I think he did, and he said, did he pull it? Man, who was the guy who farted on TV, like on MSNBC? Who was that guy like a year ago who did that? Yeah, Eric Swalwell. He retweeted it. He goes, did Joe Biden pull an Eric Swalwell? So the Trump campaign is using this against Joe Biden, him farting on TV.
I mean, now you've caught him. I mean, he's
brown-handed.
I mean, you have, indeed. I mean, there's something stinks in the room.
Yeah.
It's his politics. Ben, go ahead. What is your James Carville take, Ben, if you would?
Yeah, no, that's not a chair, because a chair would be like a thinner scraping sound.
Yeah,
there's
like
too
a
much
squeak.
Like, yeah, there's too much roundness, too much warmth to it. It's definitely a fart.
That was a gaffe on his part.
Yeah, it's like we're talking about like a John Coltrane sound. There's too much depth, like a nice baritone. All right, Kyle, go ahead, sir.
Hey guys, hi.
Hey, what's up?
I'd like to bring a new piece of evidence. If you slow it down a little bit, there seems to be a loud gasp, and I find it hard to believe there's a technical error. Right before the alleged fart, there's definitely a inhale, almost a very audible gasp.
Let me see.
I noted that earlier this week, unless that was a gaffe on his part. Yes,
there was indeed a deep breath.
Dan, is that in Vox Pro? Can you slow that down?
I don't have it in there yet, but let me see if I can get
front
it.
Front okay. to back. Gonna,
all
front
right. all to right. back. Well, I think that we've explored that long
okay.
enough.
All right. Well, finally, let's just go out with a bang while we're doing it. So, John, you can tell your kids to turn on the radio. I was sent this by a listener, and I just have to respect the creativity of our listeners. So I don't know why this listener did this, but he apparently was recording himself, and this came out. Okay. Once again, that was and what he did was he said, you know
what's
what?
Going on?
He said that actually had notes to it.
What the hell are we doing?
And from
the hell is this? Wait a second. This is a half an hour of farts. And now we're just playing listener farts.
There were complaints that we had not talked about farts in a long time.
By 2 8-year-olds.
No.
10. They're
John,
10, damn it. 10.
How many people responded and said agreed? It's they've not hit their quota.
At least 300. Okay. Like that tweet. I'm telling you, at least 300.
We are now doing our show for 10-year-olds.
I would only do this, Fred, because I'm doing this because, first of all, it's great.
So the guy,
second of
so,
all,
hey,
it's
listeners,
like,
listeners, just tape your farts and send them in. That's the show now.
If you do it to this extent, then I'm all in. Because he took that, of course, beautiful note.
And so wait a second. So he's just sitting around taping his farts.
Hey, let me send it to Rich.
Yeah, like it's like someone, like it's like some old DJ going through every record, like just listening for a beat. So he just tapes every fart until something interesting happens.
Watch this, honey. I'm gonna be famous.
You've never had a golden hour where you knew that this was worth recording, where you're just like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah,
my
when I was like eight. Yeah, and I would have the little tape recorder. Yeah, when I was eight, as an adult, no, I haven't been walking around taping my farts. Oh.
You have need to go through my text.
I had an intern. I told you this, Rich, off the air. I had an intern. We couldn't play it, but He came in one day, and he goes, I have this great audio. And we go, oh, yeah? And it was just him with diarrhea. And I'm like, what do you want me to do with this? This is the dumbest thing.
No, that's not the dumbest thing. What you're about to hear is the dumbest thing.
This is
once again, this gentleman said, you know what? Listen, I had something happen to me, and this came out of me. And he said, me being a musician, I noticed that there were notes, actual notes that were being played in that. And so he said, so I sat down, and I thought I would use that.
Thank God for the pandemic. So much good is coming out of it. So many people are putting together puzzles and taping their farts.
He said, I would use that to make this.
Oh, this show sucks. It's just so dumb. Oh, God. This is what my life has become. Broadcasting from my parents' basement.
Into like an 8-bar crescendo.
Well, I'll tell you, it had a Shakespearean impish tune to it. Oh my God, is that dumb?
Is that John's? I had to take my headset off. John's not even on mic right now.
Well, tell your kids they're in luck. Hey, if there's ratings for 8 to 10.
John's like, he's getting caught.
All right, before we go to break, you might as well just play it again. This isn't the job. All right. Well, very good. Well, now you can all go about your business. So, here's John. All right.
John, you got a new headlines now. All right.
I know. This is going to suck. All right. Let's go.
What are we doing? What have we done?
Winning awards. That's what we're doing.
What have we done? What are we doing? This is no way to live your life.
Someone said, I smell a Marconi in your future.
I told you.
Of all the shows, he said it to us.
Yeah, well, they know that we're the fart show.
All right. Well, yeah, we should just call it the fart show.
I'm going to be slamming that.
I know. Now, that's like...
I mean, I can, just think, there's too many creative people involved. Like, guy probably goes to Berkeley.
Oh, no, like, mm. For sure. Like, that's Amadeus. Like, he comes into the room and he's like... Doesn't Amadeus, like, actually fart in the movie Amadeus?
Yes, he does. He does.
Well, he's been inspired by the maestro. All right, well... Everyone enjoy yourselves. I gotta leave for a little while.
Right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriated.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To have him coming out as strident as he was, as forceful as he was with this message, I think says a lot about the position of the players right now. They're mad. They're mad at the offer that Major League Baseball made, and they're not going to sit here and say, oh, we'll be conciliatory, we'll come and meet you in the middle. No, they want to go back to the player or to Major League Baseball and say, we're not going to accept this.
At 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Jeff Passan, when he's not listening to 36 Chambers by Wu-Tang or his Rage Against the Machine or Pinkerton albums, which he displays proudly on his bookshelf behind him. He is reporting on Major League Baseball, and baseball has an opportunity to really, really become super highly relevant again if they could just get their crap together. The sport that is easiest to get going, and players and the owners reached an agreement late March. You could debate whether or not you think that should be, you know, if that should be finalized. But anyway, they're negotiating. It's the second round of negotiations, and the owners had put out earlier this week that they wanted the players to take significant pay cuts, and the players have said we're going to stick with the original pay cuts, but we'll play 100 games. To which I don't know when the season would end at that point, but nonetheless, we are at impasse, and it is going to be not good. It is. I mean, if I'm a guy who's John, what was the percentage of players making $1 million or under?
Oh, over 50, like 60 something like that. Between 50% and 60% make $1 million or less.
Yeah. So if that's the case, I am. I mean, they cannot afford to lose a season. I think the owners are banking on that, and that they could get those guys to, if they vote in favor of this deal, that they can kind of push this thing through. But nonetheless, it's not making things easy right now.
And here's what also seems to be a problem. And you might be right about the way that they're trying to divide these, you know, the haves and have-nots. It's funny calling a have-not somebody who's, you know, making $1 million. But, you know, in Major League Baseball, you're on the lower end of the spectrum. That may be the case, and there might be a large amount of those players who are willing to take the, you know, if you're making $1 million, they'd end up making like $420,000 or something like that, and they're willing to take that. But the problem is, Fred, is that it's the guys in the upper echelon who are the heads of the Players Association, and right now the ones who have all the power. And yesterday, Max Scherzer last night
came out with a statement that I believe is, and I've thought this for a while, I hate both sides. I believe the players are in the right, but he said something that is true and is really inexcusable for the owners right now. He put this out last night saying, after discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with Major League Baseball in further compensation reductions. We have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of the prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe Major League Baseball's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information. So there's two parts to that statement he made. The first one is, we think we've given up enough. Now, you can agree or disagree with that. In my opinion, I think that they're the only side that's budged. They're the only side that's given up anything. The owners have given up nothing up to this point. So I'm pro them, but I can see why you could say, well, it's still not enough. But the second point he makes is the best point, and that is, okay, if you are truly losing all of this money, why aren't you showing us the numbers? Because we've been asking for it for weeks now, and you haven't given us anything
that shows us television revenue,
that shows us like not only national and local television revenue, and all the different marketing, the ads that you get for the sponsorships at the stadium. You break down all of that, because what we are hearing in the press is that these contracts are so ridiculous that it doesn't justify the amount that you're trying to take from us. And that is the best point of them all. And that, to me, shows the shadiness of the owners. Yes, John?
During the last negotiations, during the first round of this last week, 2 weeks ago, this is according to The Athletic, Ken Rosenthal said the players asked the owners for financial statements. The owners took over a week to get back to them and didn't give them the complete statements.
Yeah, John, you're breaking up a little bit. I think your connection's a little weird. So,
okay.
Am I the only one hearing that, John?
No, I'm hearing it too.
Yeah, okay.
So how about
just
now?
I don't know what it is, but it's breaking up a little bit. But you're right, John. This is something that they've been requesting for a while, and when they finally got it, they dragged their feet, and it was like one-tenth of what they wanted. So Scherzer's right. If all of us, the fans, saw how much money the owners were truly getting from the season, even without fans, we would look at it and go, why the hell are you asking these guys to take a pay cut? Look at all the money that you guys are making. Yeah. And Major League Baseball, the owners, have done nothing to meet these guys even halfway, where the players have taken a 50% pay cut up to this point, and they're asking them to do it again. It all sucks. We all want baseball. It should, everyone should do what they can to make it happen. But at this point, if you're the players, you're like, F me. Like, we've given you everything, and you've given us nothing. So if this doesn't happen, if this season doesn't happen, right now, it's on the owners, not the players. They've done a lot, and at some point, you got to give to get.
If I'm a player, I'm not even certain when they give you the numbers if they're accurate or not.
That's the other thing. There's no trust between the players and owners, and that goes a long way towards negotiation. If you don't trust the other side, it doesn't matter what they tell you. I mean, you're still not going to believe it. So this latest shot fired by the players, or it hasn't officially been fired yet. Apparently, they're going to submit a counterproposal at the end of the week or by the end of the week. They want 110 games, and they want prorated play, full prorated play, or pay rather. So that goes completely against what the owners. As a matter of fact, it ignores what the owners proposed earlier this week. They are two sides. They couldn't be further apart. And as we've said multiple times, the clock is running here. If they want to get started by July 4th, they got to get this done by early next week. It doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, if they lose this season, they could very well lose next season, too. It's not a good precedent. And then if you don't have baseball for two seasons in a row, it's going to be like horse racing and boxing. It's going to be something that you look about as being quaint when it was popular.
They've come so close to killing this sport multiple times, and you'd think different generations would learn, and they haven't. It's really angering to follow. It sucks to be a baseball fan.
Well, Dan Roach was tweeting about it at 4 in the morning in a very sad way.
So. Well, I mean, if you could get everyone in a room, Rich, I mean, so much about this time is about, taking a breath. I mean, I know there's several apps like Calm and these things that teach you how to meditate. And sometimes, Rich, you just got to get in a room, sit down with both sides, and play them something soothing.
you asked don't for you that think... one.
I wonder if Pastor will put that on behind his bookshelf.
It's on one of the CDs there, Jeff Pass.
Yeah, Pass has just got one called The Impish Fart.
Impish.
Ew. Ew, my knickers. But yes, I mean, if you could get them all in a room and play that. But yes, it is. I mean, if I'm a player, if I'm a owner, I'm doing everything in my power to get this thing going.
Right. Because, I mean, you know, you sit down with the Players Association. Back. Yeah, you'd be. Well, okay. So, Fred, you're right. The longer this thing takes, I've been saying this for a while. Baseball has to be first. They have to be. If they want anyone to give a damn about baseball, they have to be first. Because what's going to happen, and the way it looks right now, you're going to have, what, 5 weeks for the pitchers to end up getting their arms ready. So yes. It's going to take at least that. So we're thinking, what, almost two full months.
July 4th is the goal. July 4th was the goal, if not the second week of July. And more to your point, Rich, if they don't get things started, you have baseball, you have basketball and hockey going yep. through Labor Day. And then yep. on Labor Day, you have football through the end of the year.
So
no one will
that.
Care.
About think about
sport.
That, John. So you have got the NBA and hockey. There's no definite date, but right now it's all looking like puck drop and tip-off are going to be like the third to the last week of July. That's right now, if they start dragging their feet, where baseball is going to start. Who's going to give a rat's ass about regular season baseball when you've got the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs going at the same time? You know what that's going to be when it comes to the ratings? It's going to be a giant... That's what you're going to get. A 0 point
so it's
fart.
Good.
So, but you're going to, but it's true, John, they have to get this done now.
And plus it would be easy because they have the facilities in Florida and they have the facilities in Arizona and both those places have said, we'll welcome you. So
it's so stupid.
And all the leagues, this is the easiest one to launch. It's the easiest one to launch. It's the one with the least amount of safety restrictions, even though there's a lot. Think of all the other crazy stuff they got to do. They've got the plans already ready to go. Everything is ready to go, except they just have to agree on the money. And the players, they suck. I hate them. They're all obnoxious. But they have a point. They've given up a ton, and the owners not only haven't given up anything, but now they want more from the players. They got to give to get, and it's at this point, you know, what do you want? What else do you want from the players at this point? Just to give up everything? No. At some point, you have to stand there and go, what are we doing? You're bending us over and over again. Let's make this happen. You're the a-holes. So... I'm not going to play it after saying that. It's very tempting. My finger is staying away from the screen. I'm not going to do it.
All right. Well, Jared Carabas from Barstool is going to be joining us at 9 o'clock to share his opinions. We'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Tough is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. We were talking about the NHL possibly going to Columbus, Ohio, where I said, look out, co-eds. And then Rich said, oh, Ohio State. I mean, come on, they're Midwestern girls, to which I said, Ohio State, very attractive. I mean, you have all those these girls. It's not a particularly hard school to get into. I mean, Breer went there. And so Mike Lockhart sent me this list from some website I've never heard of about the 45 best colleges in the U.S. ranked by students' looks. 45 is Stanford, which is absolutely not true. It is far too difficult a school to get into. Washington State, I couldn't tell you. TCU, Texas Christian, I would imagine. that is something that is a very attractive young lady. Indiana, way too hard to get into. University of Missouri, I couldn't tell you. Vanderbilt, no way. Way too hard to get into. University of Iowa, I think, could be sneaky. I don't know how hard that is to get into. Purdue University, again, sneaky. Penn State, I've been there. That is not the case at all. Oklahoma, I would imagine, is. University of Nebraska, I imagine, is.
What number? What numbers are these right here?
I'm counting down from 45. University of Colorado Boulder. I think there's a lot of hippiness there, but whatever. 34. North Carolina State, is 33, but I bet you that's a low ranking for them. I believe that would be a lot higher because if you look at the Duke, North Carolina, NC State, NC State is for the idiots. University of Michigan shouldn't be even in the top 400. I told you the story of when I was at a party and we were outside and all of a sudden this hot girl started talking to me and I'm like, what the hell is going on? You know, why is this hot girl hitting on me? This never happens. And then someone walked away from a floodlight and I saw that she had not shaved her legs in several months. University of Illinois, I would imagine, not very difficult to get into, certainly not Northwestern. So I would imagine that is the case. Duke, no way.
University. What's the top 10? Let's just go to the top 10.
I'm going through here. Michigan State, they have a 27. I'll give you the top 10. They have Ohio State, by the way, at 24. Let me see here. I will give you the top 10.
Let me just guess. I guarantee you there are four of the top 10 at least are SEC schools.
I think only two, but I might not know where one is. Okay, so at 10 they have LSU. Probably should be higher.
Yep.
Georgia's at 9. No way. Far, far, far too hard to get into. You're not that their women cannot be intelligent and beautiful, but we're talking about like a gaggle. We're talking about beauty as far as the eye can see.
Right.
8 is Auburn, but I don't know how hard Auburn is to get into.
All three of those are SEC schools.
We're three for three so far.
And Auburn, yes, they're right about that. And I don't think it's incredibly tough. It's like kind of middle of the road.
Because Clemson's tough to get into.
Clemson's very tough.
Guys, can you shut the door, please? Jesus.
they're yelling suggestions.
UCLA, there's no way. University of South Carolina, I would bet.
Four.
That can't be,
that's four. That, it's four SECs.
That's six. Yeah, I can't imagine that. University of Arizona.
Yeah, I mentioned that one.
That's a tough school to get into. University of Florida, again, a little tough to get into.
It's five SEC schools.
Florida State is at three, which is maybe low. Florida State again. The majority of the student body is female, and also it's a nursing school, and you don't have to be smart to get in. USC, no way, no way. USC is impossible to get into. I don't care that it's in Los Angeles. There's absolutely no way.
But they are known to take cash in order to get celebrity children.
Right. So you got those five people. So, yeah. And all those celebrity children are going to be right there on campus matriculating with you.
I'm sure that tradition's going to continue from here.
Just
on
like
out.
When Tiger Woods' ex-wife went to Rollins. I'm sure she was hanging out with everyone. I'm sure she was at frat parties. And Arizona State is number one, which I would not doubt for a moment. Arizona State. Arizona State, easy to get into. Warm weather. I would guess that would be number one. But there are a lot of egregious errors on this thing. USC is way too hard. University of Florida is too hard. Arizona is too hard. UCLA is too hard. Georgia's too hard. So you get LSU. You get it's a nice warm weather thing. You're pulling in people from terrible areas, and it's like it's almost you don't even need a high school degree to get in. I'm talking about. I bet you if you were young and attractive, a man, and you went to LSU for a week, that you could probably get laid 20 times.
What's the highest ranked New England college on there?
That's a good question.
It's called nothing.
Yeah.
Really?
What New England college would be on there?
I don't know.
Seriously, what New England college would be on there?
And how far down on the list would you have to go?
Brown.
You know, UMaine.
Brown.
Yeah, UMaine. All the hot chicks want to go to University of Maine. Let's see. Could I go to, could I go to Maine or Florida State? I'm going to go to Maine.
I mean, there's got to be something on there.
Yeah, all right, what?
Yeah, what? You give me a college.
Who? Let's go. What's the one that's over there north of Kennebunkport? What's the one?
Kennebunkport?
What? I'm trying to think of one because I know how most of them look. You know what? Harvard.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Natalie Portman went to Harvard. She's attractive.
She's okay. Fine. Yeah.
That's one.
Okay, so hand them. By the way. Yeah,
the men in that comedy troupe, they dress as women. It gets all crazy. The pudding.
Listen, they go and they write for The Simpsons and everything else.
Right. This pudding
what
is
New England so college is on there? It's all New England.
Okay. BC. What about BC? Or BU? BC girls aren't bad.
Oh, yeah. They're great.
They're not known for being ugly. Not BC.
Are you crazy?
Yes.
I live within an easy walk from BC. I don't think I've ever seen an attractive girl.
What's the art college in Providence?
RISD?
RISD.
Rhode Island School of Design?
Yeah. They got to be some kind of, like, you know, maybe a little weird, but.
How many people go there?
I think it's a decent sized college.
Oh, please. Compared to Ohio State?
No, of course not.
I bet you there's 5,000, 10,000 kids there. No way.
Providence College. What about Rhode Island? Is there anything there?
Why would you go to Rhode Island?
Why would you go to a lot of these schools? Some of these schools suck. Why would you go to LSU?
Because I'm an idiot from around that area. I'm from Alabama or Oklahoma or Alabama or Mississippi or, you know, some garbage area. That's why
that
I go there.
You think BC has a reputation of having ugly people? I've never thought.
Okay, all right. Call in 617-779-0985.
My wife went to Boston College, Fred. Beautiful woman. Beautiful.
John, is BC known for having attractive women
at all? No, that's not it. I didn't say that. I said
Are they known for having unattractive women?
Yeah. Are they known for having unattractive women? I have not heard that. No.
Yeah.
It's a Catholic school in New England.
Yes, that's true.
That doesn't scream out to me. Not
a lot of tan people. No, that's true.
No, that doesn't scream out to me like, hey, let's party.
We were talking for New England. We weren't talking compared to Florida State.
This whole thing started with what New England schools would be on there. And then you said BC, and I laughed in your face.
You said
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.